another episode of
Into the Combine.
Hey, what's up, all you metalheads? This is another episode of Into the Combine. I am your host, Stan. Whoa, this is weird, me going first. Johnny's not here with us today, but this is Stan the Man.
Jason.
Yeah, so welcome back to Into the Combine. We got Johnny can't make it here, or wasn't able to make it here today, sick or some shit. I don't know, he's got a girlfriend, something, I don't know. But it's just me and Jason today. We're doing a little solo special episode. Jason, what do we got today?
Really? Maybe the way it should be, you know?
You never know.
Hey. That extra baggage from here out?
Yeah, I got an extra mic sitting next to me, so if anyone wants to fill out an application, we're taking them.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We could be way better off. We should be a 5-star show if we didn't have that guy, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of miss him, though.
He's our brother.
Yeah.
He needs to be here. This is awkward. We're not into this, but we're doing what we have to do to bring you guys our next interview instead of waiting a week for it. We've got an interview with the band Fallujah, with Alex. He is the vocalist. It's a pretty good interview. We get some information about their upcoming album, which is going to be released this year. Their last one was The Flesh Prevails. I came into that album a little late. I didn't hear about it last year. I found out about it this year, but I swear, man, I've had it in my car for months and months, and it's like my go-to album. Like if I put that on, you know, man, it, like, it doesn't matter what time it is. I love it, like, always.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a listen to, yeah, I think, a couple times through, a couple months ago. But it's definitely on my list to check out a little bit more in depth when I have some time and stuff. But
yeah, I figured you would like it. I mean, what's cool about it is they take the whole death metal thing. If you guys, I mean, anyone listening, you probably know who they are and what they sound like. But, you know, a lot of people are throwing around. They're kind of like the pioneers of this whole atmospheric death metal thing. You know, I don't know enough on that subject to say if they are or not, but they definitely took it to a new level if they weren't, you know, one of the first.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not the biggest fan of this whole new wave of atmospheric black metal, but I'm kind of digging the whole, you know, putting that spin on death metal, though.
Right.
Death metal is something, one of those things you can try out different things with it. Black metal, I think, is just stay the same, but that's just my opinion.
I'm finding out I like it in all of it. It's something different, you know. I mean, black metal's been doing it for a while with the ambient atmospheric stuff, but you don't hear it combined like this in death metal as much. I mean, it's a very big element of it. The melodic parts they put into the death metal mixed with the ambient, and there's even, you know, some electronic spots in there, which if you told me that, I'd probably be like, that's gonna suck.
Oh,
but
yeah,
for some reason they make it work. So anyways, a lot of information, just talks about touring, the band in general, and then what's coming up next for the band. So I'll shut up and you guys can listen to this interview.
Play a little song first, I guess.
Yeah, I'll give you guys an idea what this sounds like if you haven't heard them yet, and then we'll probably end it on something else too.
Sweat!
right, so we're here with the vocalist from the band Fallujah. Yeah, can you just give us your name and then tell us a little bit about the band?
Absolutely. I'm Alex Hoffman. I'm the vocalist of Fallujah. We're based out of San Francisco, California. Yeah, I think that's probably about it.
So I know you guys just got off your European tour. How'd that go for you?
That was awesome. I mean, this was definitely the best European tour that we've done. I mean, we had a really good time because I think at least this time around, a lot of the ice had already been broken amongst the bands. You know, we've known the Within the Ruins guys because we did Slaughter with them. And we knew the Boris the Blade guys and the Carnifex guys because we all met this last summer, I guess this last spring, at some festival in Texas. So we already kind of all knew each other. And, you know, I think we're really now beginning to see an actual fan base happen in Europe. And, you know, seeing more kids coming out to the shows, merch sales being better, a bit more enthusiasm from the crowd is really rewarding. And I think just, yeah, hanging out with the other bands is just great this time. You know, we were all kind of the same age, which may not sound like much of an issue, but we've realized over the years, especially when, you're sharing a bus with 20 other guys, having guys that are all kind of on the same page as you and, wanting to have a good time, wanting to enjoy themselves, the young outlook, you know, really made this tour actually a lot of fun, which I thought was totally refreshing. I'm honestly kind of sad to be home because it was a little bit short. The tour was only 20 shows, or like it was pretty much 3 weeks of being there. And by the end of it, I was like, if someone told me I had to keep going, I probably would have said yes.
So I know you said you've been to Europe before, but did you get to check out anything cool while you were there? Any sightseeing or anything different this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of a question. There's a lot of cool things we did. I got to see a lot of Paris. Tons of familiar faces in, Manchester, like all the Ingested and Malevolence boys came out, as well as other friends. And then, Berlin is my personal favorite place. We had a lot of friends there. We went to the Soviet War Memorial. I've seen a lot of Berlin anyway. I usually take my own little vacation trips to Berlin before a European tour. So I always love playing there and just being there in general. Got to see quite a bit of Glasgow. That was a lot of fun. We didn't go to Scandinavia this time, which actually kind of bummed me out because I do like Scandinavia a lot. Let me try and think where else. Oh, Brno, Czech Republic was cool. Got to see some catacombs and met some pretty cool people at the Christmas markets. Got fucking wasted in Munich and had some amazing meals with Joe Kochi from Within the Ruins' dad. Him and his dad and his brother actually came on the tour with us for a few days. And, yeah, we went to the Hofbrauhaus together and, basically ate an entire fucking pig amongst us. And, yeah, I mean, shit like that. For me, it's like almost all positive experiences traveling are associated with food. So when I think about, what the cool things that I do when I was in Europe, I think, what did I eat that was really amazing? But this time, it was definitely a lot of that. Definitely as time goes on, it's hard to have the same enthusiasm when you go to the same places. It's more so when you go to a new city, you're like, oh, what can I go to today? Or maybe your venue's in like a different part of the city that you haven't been to before. So you can kind of go explore a bit more. That's the reason why I tour. If there wasn't the cool shit that you get to see aside from the show is actually not really the highlight of my day. What you can do either before or after to kind of absorb the traveling experience, which I think is probably true for a lot of people. I had a really good time this time. Definitely more memorable than maybe not as memorable as the previous one. Memorable in different ways.
Sure. So what do you guys like to do then in your downtime? You guys pretty laid back, or do you guys like to get out there and explore, or what?
Well, I mean, it all depends on where you are and who you're with, But I think, one of the reasons why I had fun this time is because, the guys were all young and, stoked to be in Europe. Whereas, previously, you take a 40-year-old guy who's been to Europe 20 times, he's not going to be, the most fun guy to go out and see the Eiffel Tower with. That's exactly the kind of stuff I like to do. I mean, I think definitely some members of Fallujah are more active than others. But, I mean, I personally am definitely the most motivated to go out and see shit either before the show or to go out and at least party after. If you're not necessarily going to go sightseeing, at least an enthusiasm to go out drinking with people after, stuff like that. I mean, I definitely probably am doing that the most. But, Rob gets out there a lot. Brian gets out there a lot. And definitely the guys like I said, it's not even so much a matter of who wants to go out where. It's a matter of, you know, where your venue is. Because if your venue is, you know, close enough distance and stuff where it's walkable, it's definitely going to be more easy to go sightseeing as opposed to, you know, if I have to take three different trains or buses or cabs and stuff like that. So it depends on where you are and, of course, what you did the previous night, which directly reflects how early or late you're waking up the next day. If you wake up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's not a whole lot of time to go see stuff. A few nights of drinking, of heavy drinking, you know, and you're sleeping in until the next night. You're like, okay, today's going to be a bit low-key.
So I know you guys have some time off right now from touring. Are you guys done with the new album, or are you guys still working on that while you're home?
Well, it's done being recorded. Right now, it's all of the nitpicky stuff. It's the mixing and mastering and the, you know, a lot of the notes and, the, you know, we have a big Google Docs open where we're kind of picking apart the record and saying, like, oh, like, this part should be louder here, this part should be da-da-da, this stuff needs more reverb, this needs, like, less distortion, whatever it is. And, you know, I mean, we're trying to get it done, like, in the next few weeks, but that's pretty much all that needs to be done now. I mean, the artwork is all ready to go. Right now we're also setting up the pre-order packages, you know, what we're going to package together for the fans, you know, bundle together with vinyl, a lot of the auxiliary items. You know, right now our biggest issue is trying to think about fun little side items that we can include in these pre-order packages to get kids excited. So that's actually, you know, it doesn't sound like maybe that difficult, but it actually kind of is.
Yeah.
You know, making your pre-order package is not just, you know, oh, a shirt and a CD and a poster. You know, you want to have it be interesting, you know, something with maybe a bit more novelty qualities to it. That's pretty much what we're doing, you know. I mean, all the instruments are tracked. Nobody's going into the studio. I think Scott, you know, there's a few more of his solos that still have to be reamped, sent over to Mark Lewis to do, but I think that's pretty much it. You know, we got off this tour, kind of hit the ground running during the holidays again, and now we're just, you know, it's just a lot of emails sending back and forth, you know.
Right, yes, because I know I've read that you guys like to do a lot of your writing by, you know, using the computer and then sending your files and sharing it like that. Is that the same approach you guys took for this new album, or did you guys do anything different?
The writing, yeah. I mean, the writing we do mainly, I guess, in the environment of, with our computers. We don't really get together as a band and jam. You know, it's all done, you know, Scott sitting in front of his computer, basically, with programmed drums. And in that sort of way, I feel like we're most productive. You know, if we just try and get into a room with, you know, and jam and have to remember riffs and all that kind of stuff, I don't think it's as productive.
Yeah, so
I guess that's probably the most I could say about how the process is. Yeah, it's probably, you know, it's utilizing technology to its fullest advantage for sure. But it's not like, I guess, soulless and dehumanized in that way.
So when you guys, you know, finish writing these songs and you've got some new songs ready for the road, how do you guys kind of pick the songs you're going to use? And do you, you know, mess with them or change them at all, since you guys are, you know, you probably get together after the fact and start jamming those out live?
We do that, yeah, before tours. We kind of, like, pick which songs you want to go after. And, you know, it's never even really, there's really, you know, it's never finished, basically, is what I'm saying. You know, some songs you think they're going to be really good live, and then you go out on the road and realize that, yeah, nobody's really feeling it. So you have to kind of, there's a bit of trial and error involved in that, you know?
So you guys have progressed and varied your sound quite a bit since your earlier stuff, you know, going from more of the technical death metal and then getting more into the atmospheric stuff with the Nomadic EP, and then especially with the Flesh Prevails album. You know, was that, did you guys kind of consciously want to leave more of that standard technical death metal behind and go into some different sounds? Or, you know, I guess, how did you guys, you know, how did you guys come to this point and this type of progression?
I mean, I think we're just, to be completely honest, we're over having a more death metal-centric album. I mean, there's still death metal parts for sure. But, I mean, the parts that we're going to get most excited about on an album like this, it's going to be the most atmospheric parts, the most melodic parts, you know, the parts that have clean singing, stuff like that. I think it's hard to tell people, you know, like, oh, we're not really a death metal band. I mean, you still kind of are a death metal band. You're associated with the scene and all of that. But undeniably, you know, this next album, you know, is just way more focused. And it's way, you know, we focus less, I think, on speed this time. You know, it's not that fast of a record the way the last one was. I think for us in the last one, we were trying to have this, like, sort of just, like, fast, unrelenting, melodic feel to it. But this time we were thinking more, we want the atmospheres and the melodies and the emotions to be harnessed by, like, crushing power. So there's a lot more groove, a lot more, like, big, open, kind of expansive parts. And I think it's cool. I mean, I definitely like this record way more than, like, A Bunch of Veils. And it's just, yeah, it's just got a different vibe to it. That and the fact that, you know, we're working with a completely different producer this time to mix and master it.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about that real quick. With your last album, you guys, the overall sound that came out, you know, was more of that wall of sound. Everything blended together. You know, it wasn't like an album where the guitar really stands out above everything or whatever, the vocals are above everything. It really kind of all blended as like a wall of sound feel. And that's actually something that I really enjoyed about the album. I thought it was just different sounding. But I have read a lot online, or just not a lot, but some mixed opinions on that. Some people will say that sounded muddy and it wasn't the production that they would like, you know? So it's like either people love it and they love that sound and direction, or, you know, you see that critiquing and they're not into it at all. So is that the sound that you guys were going for on that album? Or is that kind of just the way that it ended up? And, you know, how are you going to approach this new album? Is it going to be a similar sound to that? Or are you guys going to vary that up?
I mean, it was a mixture of things. I mean, part of it was due to error on the label side, on the Unique Leader side. And then other part of it is like, yeah, we do like that wall of sound. We do like the big sort of, you know, where not necessarily clear, but we want things to sound like a wall of sound hitting you. I don't know if it was necessarily harnessed the right way last time. That's what I would say. You know, I don't think our ideas really came out how we wanted them to. I do think Zach got way more flack than he deserved for how that record sounded. Yeah, I mean, it's all a matter of opinion, dude. You know, it's kind of like subjective in that way where it's personal taste. And some people were like really, really into how it sounded. Other guys saying like, oh, it sounds unlistenable, hard on the ears. You know, and of course, like where you're listening to it has a lot to do with it as well, but I don't know. I mean, it was the least of my worries, honestly, when it came to making that record successful. You know, like that record was done at a budget of like $5,000. So, I mean,
amazing.
Even with what we had, I think it sounds pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, like I said, that's one of the things that I really loved about that album and that I noticed right from the start. You know, it's like an album that kind of just, it feels like it's surrounding you with sound. You know, it's so immersive. And that's why I was a little bit surprised to hear anything critiquing it, just because it hadn't even crossed my mind. But yeah, so is that a sound that you guys are going to look for again on this album, or are you guys going to try and do something a little bit different as far as mastering and recording goes?
It's definitely, I mean, honestly, mainly due to the fact that we have more money to throw at it. The album sounds way better for sure. You know, if you A/B them next to each other, it's like kind of like night and day. But that's, you know, mainly, yes, yeah, simply because there was actually a budget this time, you know, there was actually an ability to make this record sound good. It wasn't, you know, just done on like personal favors. It's hard to explain, you know, the money aspect of things, but I think when you have more money to actually have, you know, invest into your production, it affects the end game.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But getting into your lyrics a little bit, I think, yeah, I know you're the main songwriter for the lyrics. Are you comfortable diving into a little bit what you wrote about for this album?
I'm more comfortable talking about these lyrical things than I was the Flesh of Veils ones. The Flesh of Veils ones were definitely a bit more personal and introverted. But, I mean, what I liked about this stretch of lyrics is the fact that for the first time, I was talking about things in a, I guess, so basically, okay, so the whole concept for the album, and not every single song falls into this concept, revolves around the themes and feelings of specific films that I like. So whether it's characters, or whether it's like scenes in the movie happening, And the whole thing is I'm not telling anyone what films pertain to what songs. I'm kind of like seeing if anyone can figure it out for themselves. In a way, for me, that'll be some bit of an experiment to see if anyone can actually like decipher and like figure out what, you know, these characters and what these and basically what these ideas and themes that I'm trying to, you know, tap into, if anyone can actually, you know, put the name to the lyrics. But right now I picked a path of taking these certain themes and these certain characters from these movies and then drawing the parallel between what it represents in my own life. And so, you know, what was cool about that, the reason why I had probably the most fun writing these lyrics is because you don't really have a memory of an event, you know, to go on from memory. You can actually watch it in front of you and also absorb, like, the colors, also absorb, I guess, the atmosphere visually, and then trying to put it into words, which was really interesting for me. That I never really, like, attempted to do that before with Fallujah lyrics. So, you know, there's various ones about, you know, loss, you know, regret, memories, insecurities. I'm trying to think of which other ones are like appropriate to talk about. I mean, there's two songs in the record that don't have a parallel with the movie, that are simply songs that I wanted to write. But the revolving theme is definitely experiences paralleled through film. And I guess the biggest reason why I went down that road is because the whole summer I was actually living up in Vancouver, BC, British Columbia, working in film, like on film sets. Like I was working on like the new X-Files.
Oh, cool.
And I worked on a show called Man in the High Castle, and it kind of inspired me to be like, what if I took like all these scenes happening, and what if I took like these, the idea of this kind of like film-inspired creativity to write songs about like some of my favorite films and like the reason why I like them and the emotions that make me feel. So that was kind of the inspiration for that. But like I said, the most exciting thing for me is to see if anyone can come up to me at a show and be like, hey, is this song about this movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big movie buff myself, so that sounds very interesting to me. Is there anything from this year that you were really digging in at all? Not to spoil your list and give anything away, but anything that stood out to you?
Yeah. I was really, really into Ex Machina. That was a really sick movie. Or Ex Machina, however you want to pronounce mm-hmm. it. I really liked It Follows, just kind of like this minimalist horror movie.
Yeah.
What else did I see this year that was super sick? Mad Max, of course. Mad Max was like one of the best action movies in years.
So when you start writing your lyrics, is that something that you do on your own time and get things going, or do you get the music and then try and write your lyrics to kind of fit the overall sound of the music?
Yeah, I mean, the lyrics, some of the lines, and some of like the phrases, I guess, I've been writing since even before Flesh Prevails came out. You know, I kind of have this, I have this like notes file on my phone that I kind of always like digging into. And it's like anytime I get a thought, I get an idea, I kind of just like jot down a line or two. The lyrics are almost always written in paragraph, unformatted form before the songs are written, and then when I get the songs is when I have to like, all right, I'm going to like take this song and apply it to this lyrical theme, and then from there I have to like tinker with it, you know, adjust words, adjust syllables, adjust how things are going to go along, and then of course, you know, if I have to like write a few lines or write a different part here and there, but the body and the bulk of the records are written before lyrically.
Okay, so with your guys' sound and the progression that you've done so far, you know, being that you've got this tag on you now of atmospheric death metal, and the way that you guys are combining the electronic, the atmospheric, and the technical death metal together, where does that stem from? Do you guys have, are you guys each bringing your own influence to the table, and then combining it, and this is coming out? Or is this something that you guys kind of just consciously wanted to go for?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, we all have definitely different influences and we're all into different stuff. But I don't know. I almost don't really want to say that, you know, the other bands that we listen to are necessarily responsible for our album sounding the way they are. You know, like I guess I think it's just simply a matter of like our past of writing music and like how we've written music and how we've been a band. And just it's how it comes out naturally. It's how, I mean, I guess it's more so about brain function than it is like, you know, sitting there with other songs open trying to copy it. Like, I just don't necessarily think, I think, you know, just lifting off obscure bands people haven't heard of as our influences, it doesn't really tell the story of like why our albums are written the way they are. I mean, I think a lot of it can be attributed to, you know, the band's mind and Scott's mind, definitely, and the way parts just should sound naturally. I think that's a hard thing to put into words.
So I know I've heard that you play a big role as far as the electronic aspects of the last album went. Is that something that you're big on, you know, and is that something that you're going to keep doing going forward into this next album?
I mean, there's like two electronic songs on this next album. I think for me, you know, electronic music is my biggest number one influence on everything I do. And so I think for me, you know, being able to harness electronic music in a way that's where it still, you know, it comes onto an album and still makes sense, is fun and exciting for me. The album has way more of a retro feel than the last one does. The last one had a bit more of a symphonic kind of like modern sound, whereas this one is still, you know, like pads and layers on top of stuff, but we wanted to do it in a way that sounded more like it was like sort of retro analog synthesizers. You know, a big influence on that, I guess I'd say, would be the Blade Runner soundtrack. Blade Runner soundtrack done by Vangelis is huge. You know, like that was one of the best movie soundtracks ever made. You know, and it was all done with, you know, a Yamaha CS80. And, well, of course, I didn't have enough money to afford a Yamaha CS80 from the 80s, but it still was, like, really pivotal in an influence for, like, the kind of tone I wanted to have, this kind of buzzing, imperfect analog feel. And in the sound design for the record, as far as what I was trying to achieve on my end, that's kind of what I was aiming for.
Right. No, that sounds interesting. Just switching topics a little bit, it's the end of the year. So everybody's doing their lists. We just put out our best of 2015 lists. You have anything metal-wise that's standing out to you at all?
In the metal world, I thought Rivers and the Hill had the best metal album of the year, for sure. What else was another good metal record this year? Honestly, Rivers and the Hill was like the only one that really like resonated with me. You know, when I heard that, I was like, yes, like, I mean, and the production on it was, like, so good, too.
You could even say anything outside of the metal world.
Well, outside of the metal world, yeah, I mean, like, Earl Sweatshirt's new record was really good. George Fitzgerald's new record was really good. Album named Hallucinogen by Kalila was really, really good. She's, like, kind of an R&B singer. Maxime Dangle's new album, Resilience, was super, super sick. Actually, yeah, I made a post on the Foolish's Tumblr of all of my favorite records of the year and a little blurb about them, and then I put a link to the song so you could listen to them. Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I thought this was, like, one of, like, the best years for music in a really, really long time. You know, I thought it was, like, I had a really hard time picking a top 10 because I thought there were so many good albums. For the metal world, I couldn't exactly say the same. I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot that was, like, you know, completely blowing me away this year. But I thought, you know, Rivers and the Hill definitely put out a killer record.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love that album. And they kind of remind me of you guys just a little bit in the way that you guys are both younger bands, but you're both progressing and pushing boundaries a little bit, just kind of putting a fresh take on things. So is there anything you want to say real quick to the fans before we finish this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you just, there's going to be a lot of info coming out in the next few months. You know, we're going to be putting up a new song and all the hype machine starts for the new album in the next coming month. So stay tuned. You know, if you've been anticipating anything for Fallujah, it's almost there. Don't worry. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
No, thank you, man. We really appreciate you taking the time out to do this. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. We want to give another special thanks to Alex for doing that, taking the time out to do that interview.
Yeah. So I think we'll end the show off with another song with them so you can get the feel for them again. But and what we're going to do, post it on a link on Twitter, Facebook. What else we got going on?
Yeah. Twitter, Gmails. Facebook. Shoot, we got an Instagram now. We've got our Gmail, thecombine586. Send us an email. In private, you can call us out or give us some suggestions or whatever. And then we would love for some more iTunes reviews if you guys don't mind.
That's most important.
Those really help us out.
Yep. But yeah, we look forward to hearing from you guys. And this has been another episode of Into the Combine. This is not Shoddy.
Jason.
Stay in the man. Stay metal.